Sex. Well, the word, it sounds powerful. It's interesting. Our society is filled with sex, the pull of sex. Almost every commercial, billboards, magazines, all the ads, they use sex to sell the product. Our society, let me tell you, it says the following about sex. It says that boys and girls are weird if by age 18 they are still virgins. That's what our society says. The world has certainly bought into all of this. Even the church has bought into this. Do you realize that 70% of Christian boys by age 18 have already had sexual relations? 70%. The message from the world is this: you can't possibly be a fulfilled human being if you're not having sex. Let me give you a couple of ways that our society views sex. First of all, our society views sex as recreational. I mean, it's just for our pleasure. I mean, it's not sacred. There's no strings attached. It's really just a fun way of fulfilling yourself. I saw a survey, a result of ninth graders. 65% said that it was okay for a boy to force a girl to have sex with him if they had been dating for any length of time. That's a survey. 65%. It's recreational. It's just for your pleasure. That's what our society says. Sex doesn't have any sacred part to it. It's not any really special thing other than the fact that it is for your fun and enjoyment. This is from a booklet put out by Planned Parenthood. It says this: our goal is to help young people get sexual satisfaction before marriage. This booklet says you're to enjoy sex. It is fun. Don't rob yourself by old-fashioned ideas. The thought is, look, they're going to have sex. You better give them condoms so they can have safe sex. Well, let me tell you something, and there's a true statement. There is no such thing as safe sex. Don't let that world try to fool you, and don't let them try to give you that lie. There is no such thing. Well, the first way our society looks at it is recreation. There's no strings attached. The second way our society looks at sex is that it's a test for love. So you have sex to make sure you're compatible. But it doesn't work that way, because let me be honest with you, the physical almost always works, and you are more than a body. You're more than a physical being. You're a body and a soul and a spirit, and you're all in one. And this idea that you need to have sexual relations before you get married to see if you match somehow, in a study done from the University of Chicago, they did a study on couples from 1962 to 1985. And they found that the people who lived together before, had sexual relations and lived together before marriage, were much more likely for their marriages to fail. In fact, 50% greater possibility. See, our society says that for a man, a great lover is a man who has sex with a lot of people. Wilt Chamberlain said he had sex with, what, over 10,000 women in his basketball career? He says he's a great lover. You know what a great lover is? A great lover is someone who can satisfy one woman all of her life. Don't buy into what the world says. A great lover doesn't go from woman to woman or from man to man. Our society pushes sex on you. They say it's for fun, it's for a test for love. How do we deal with it, and what's really right? What part does sex play in our lives as Christians? I want to raise the question as we begin. Is it right to have sex? And you know what the answer is? Yes, it is. This is not really the question, because God is the one who has given mankind, given us sex drives, the desire for men and for women. The real question is not, is it okay to have sex? Because the answer is yes. The real question is, when and with whom do you have sex? And the Bible's very clear. When do you have sexual relations? You have sexual relations when you're married. And with whom do you have sexual relations? You have it with your marriage partner. Any sexual relationship outside or with someone other than the one you're married to is wrong. Hebrews chapter 14 says that God will judge. He says that fornication, which is illicit sex, which is sexual relations between two unmarried people, homosexual, anything, it's wrong. He says God will judge that. God will deal with that. Sexual relations are reserved for the marriage bond. Have you ever thought about this? Now, I want you to think about it. Our society teaches just the opposite of this. But a person in their whole life is supposed to have sex with one person, and that's the person they're married to. That's all. And there are some people that if they're married to a person, they have sexual relations, that person dies and they marry somebody else, then they have sex with two people. That's the only people that's supposed to have sexual relations with more than one person in their whole lives. But our society says just the opposite. It's for fun. It's for recreation. It's for your enjoyment. Why did God give the sex drive? Let's think about some reasons for it. First, one is to produce children. Genesis chapter 1, this is verses 27 and 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. And then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. One of the purposes for sexual relations is to produce children, to populate the race, to produce offspring. That's one reason. There's a second one. And there's this, the second reason for sexual relations is there's this oneness that goes there. It's this physical union. In Genesis 2:24, we read it a while ago, but it says this, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It's a unique, mystical truth that happens when two people are married and they have sexual relations with each other. There is a oneness and a union that cannot be described. Josh McDowell says this. He says, sexual intercourse is intended to be a demonstration of the unity between a man and a woman. It is this one fleshness. It is the physical experience, and it's an illustration of the spiritual oneness of the husband and wife. That's what it's for. If two people are not, I've had people ask me this question. Listen, you know, since sex is such an important thing, what if people aren't married and they have sex? Well, then are they considered married in God's eyes? I've had people ask me that. If you have sexual relations to somebody you're not married to, then does God consider you married? I said, no, He considers that fornication. He doesn't consider it marriage. Why does God give us a sex drive, produce children, a oneness, this physical union? There's a third thing, and that is an expression of love. It is the way that a husband and wife, and just let me put it this way, one of many ways that a husband and wife can show their love for one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 basically says, let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife and the wife to the husband, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. It is their way. It is just one of the ways, but it is a way of expressing your love for your spouse. He says in that passage, fulfill one another. Let me just tell you this. Fulfilling sexual desire is not necessarily love. In fact, it's lust. And there's a contrast between love and lust. And listen carefully. Lust has a desire for self, where love has a desire for others. Lust wants to fulfill self, where love wants to fulfill others. Lust is an emotion. It's a desire. While love is an action. It's a commitment. Love possesses and love gives. Listen, if somebody ever says to you, if you love me, you'll have sex with me and to show me, this person doesn't love you. If anybody ever gives you the line, if you really love me, you will, they don't love you. They do not love you. Erwin Lutzer, who is the pastor at Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, said this. He says, if a man says, I love you, he is actually saying, I love myself because I want you. Love never asks a person to do something wrong. Just remember that. If a person loves you, they'll never ask you to do something wrong. As we think about sex, our society pushes it, but realize that God's plan is that sexual relation is only in marriage. Now, let's think about, when Todd, or whatever they raised, I think it was Todd who asked the question, how many of you are single? Almost every hand went up. Well, as a single person, and we think about the sex part, and we think about physical relationships, here's a question that is asked a lot. Well, how far can you go? I mean, you don't want to go all the way, right? Well, how far can you go? Well, you know, the truth is that's not the best question to ask, because it's really not best to ask how far I can go, but the best question we ask, how far can I flee? Because 2 Timothy says, flee youthful lust. The pull is very strong. You remember Joseph? Joseph was a great man, a man that all the way through his life, he continued to do what God wanted him to do. Boy, I'm glad that fell over. But anyway, Joseph was a man that when he was put into prison in Egypt and raised up by, before he was put in prison, he was raised up to work in a home of a guy by the name of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife liked him. In fact, as Potiphar would leave, she would come up and on a daily basis, she would say, have sex with me, come lie with me, is literally what it says. And he would say, no, how can I do that? I work for your master and I cannot disobey my God. That's what he said. And one day when everybody else was out of the house and Potiphar, the husband, was gone, she caught him in there by himself and said, come lie with me. And he ran out of the house. Flee youthful lust. So when the question comes into your mind, how far can you go? How physical should you get? Here's the question to ask. Is what I'm doing, does it glorify God? On the back of our t-shirts for this year, it's got the verses in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. So the question is, when you're beginning to be maybe physical in some way, ask yourself the question, is what I'm doing now, is it glorifying God? What about hugs? What about kisses? Listen, you can hug and kiss, and that's some great stuff. But there's certain ways to hug and certain ways to kiss. And we know that the purpose for most of the physical contact is to prepare a person for intercourse. That's the purpose of what they call foreplay. I'm sorry, I'm just as blunt. You know, I just got to be blunt. That's what it's for. And if you cannot have sexual relations, don't start the engines. That's the basic truth. The best bet is to be as less physical as you can be. I used to have a pastor friend that said, the less you do before you're married, the better it is, and the more you do after you're married, the better it is. So ask yourself the question, would this glorify God? Well, how do we deal with the sex drive and the pull from this world? Because it is there. Well, I've got three or four things I want you to think about. The first one is this. Just realize that it is God's plan for your purity. That's what He wants. Now, let me just read something to you. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's a great passage. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 3. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Sanctification means being set apart. If we didn't go any further, we'd say, well, what God wants us to do is our lives be set apart for Him. But He's real specific in this passage. He says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality." That means any illicit sexual relations. He goes on to say that each of you knows how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor, that you know how to control your body. Listen, I want you. You're not at the passions of. You're not at the whim of your body. I just couldn't help myself. You're not that way. You're not an animal. You make decisions. He goes on to say in this passage that you know how each one of you to possess your own vessel in sanctification, honor, not in lustful passions like those who do not know God. We're not at the whim of our emotions. We don't have to blindly do what we feel like doing. So the first thing I want you to realize is it is God's desire for your life. He says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's part one. It goes on to the other idea that when we think about how do we deal with it. Number two is realize that sexual relations is a major decision. It is not to be taken lightly. Realize that whether you're going to have sex or not is not even your next decision. You know what your next decision is? In this realm, it's who you're going to marry. Because sex doesn't come till after marriage. So your question right now is not whether you have sex or not. Your question is who you're going to marry. Then you have sex. Third, how do we handle this? The third thing is don't put yourself in places of temptation. That's why 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust. I told you about, or I think I've told this from the pulpit before, about a couple that came to see me about 4 years ago, went to our church, and they were great, great kids. I loved them. They came in to see me. They said, JB, can we talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. They said, we just want to talk to you for a minute. We're having a real lot of trouble in the physical end. They said, we're not going all the way, but we are just struggling in this. I said, so you're physical? Oh, we're really physical, but we're not going all the way. I said, well, what's going on? Well, we go over to his apartment to study. And then we go in his bedroom to study. And then before we know it, I said, see, that's your problem. Look, you can't study in somebody's bedroom. It just won't work. If you're 90 years old, it might work, okay? It won't work when you're 20. It won't work when you're 18. It won't work when you're 40-something. It won't work that way. The sex drive is too powerful to decide once it's all started. You got to decide. You cannot put yourself in these places of temptation, and when they come, you got to get away from them. There's a fourth way that you handle it. One is you know it's His purity, it's His plan. You know it's a major decision. Don't put yourself in temptation. Number four is don't rationalize in this area. We love each other. It won't matter. We love each other. Listen, love never asks somebody to do something that's wrong. Number two, we say, well, we're going to get married. We're going to get married. We're engaged even. Still wrong. If you're not married, it's still wrong. Don't rationalize. We need to see if we match. Listen, trust God. Now, I want to say this. What if you've already messed up? And if this group of people is normal, and when I say normal as far as the world, and normal even as far as most Christians, there is a possibility that between 60 and 70% of you have already had sexual relations. What do you do if you've already messed up, if you violated the Word of God in this area? Well, one thing to remember, that God is in the business of taking people who have blown it, who have failed, who have come short of His glory, and taking care of them and giving them new life. Our God is a good God. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a God of grace and love. So if you've already blown it, let me raise some points. If you're not a Christian, if you've never trusted Christ, listen, right now, tonight, you can trust Him as your Savior. You're saved simply by grace through faith. You're not saved because you do good things, because you can't do good things. You're saved simply by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And when you come to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ loves you and He has already paid for all your sins, and He puts you in a perfect relationship and fellowship with Him. If you're already a believer, what are you supposed to do when you sin? You confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Just remember that. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us. There's the third thing. And that is, if you've failed in the past, from this moment on, stop. Go on with your life. Don't do it anymore. You remember about the woman, there was Jesus there, and the people found this woman caught in the very act of sexual relations, adultery. They drug her up there and threw her basically down in front of Jesus and says, what are you going to do with this woman? Truthfully, at that time, they shouldn't have taken her to Jesus. They should have taken her to the temple area. Jesus just kind of looked at him, then He wrote in the sand. We're not sure what He wrote, but He just said, by the way, anybody, if you want to stone her to death, whoever has not sinned at all, go ahead, you can stone her. Everybody left. She looked up at Him. He said, where are your accusers? And she said, they've all left. And He said, go and sin no more. If you've blown it in the past, it is over. You can't change the past, but one thing you can do. The Philippians 2 passage says, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on to the things that are ahead. From this moment on, you live your life in this area glorifying to God. God will take you and He will use you beyond what you can imagine. Go on. Fourth, guard yourself. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your hearts. Don't put yourselves in situations that's going to cause you to fall. If you've fallen in the past, it's even easier. So be careful. Don't put yourself in those situations. Then the fifth thing is live for Jesus Christ. Make a decision. Romans 12 says, I offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As I said a while ago, God's going to use you. We've all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God, and some in some ways and some in others. And if you have failed in this area, confess it, deal with it. From this moment on, go on. Guard your heart. Live for Christ. Let me tell you, if you hadn't failed in this area, thank God. Thank God. And live for Him. You'll never regret it. Why wait? Because that'd be a question. There are people who... One time I did a thing at the FCA. It's been about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and they brought us up there, and we sat on these chairs. There were about three of us, and we were a committee, like as a panel. And some of the kids there that night, it was a big crowd that night. We were talking about sex. That was what the issues were. And so people wrote little questions to give us. And since they didn't have to ask them publicly, and since they didn't have to put any names on them, they asked some pretty tough things. And one, a couple of them were, why shouldn't I have sex? What difference does it make, and who are you to tell me I can't? I'm not telling anybody they can't. God's the one that says don't do it. Why wait? Let me give you some things that Josh McDowell, in one of his books, here's some ideas about why wait. First of all, I'm going to give you two big ones. There are a lot of little things underneath, but two big ones on why wait. One, sex outside marriage is wrong. That's the bottom line. It's just wrong to do it. But I want you to think about it. Sex is God's idea. He invented it. He knows what's best. If it was best to have sex with anybody and a bunch of partners throughout life, He would have said, do it that way. But God created you. He created your minds, your souls, your bodies. He created it all. And He says, this is the best way. I'm God. I know. Here's the best thing for you. I'm only trying to protect you. I know what's best. I want you to understand that sex is a spiritual act. It's not just physical. They're lying to you when they tell you that it doesn't matter. You just have sex and go on. It is a spiritual act. It is one that transcends the physical. Tim Stafford writes this. He says, when a person touches you in those places, they are touching you more than your skin. It is that inside special part of a person. There's a second reason when we talk about the sex outside marriage is wrong, that it's a spiritual act. There's a second thing. I want you to really think about this. It breaks trust. It breaks trust. If you have sexual relations with someone you're not married to, it breaks your trust. Let me tell you what happened one day. I do premarital counseling for everybody that I get the great privilege to marry, and I count it as a privilege to bring believing couples together. A couple came into my office. I did not know them very well. They had called the church and talked to me, and I just barely knew them, and they came in and we started talking, and in the counseling that I go through, I asked the hard questions, and we came up about physical relationship, and they basically said, well, we have sex. We're getting married, but we have sex with each other. And here's what I said to them, and I want you to think carefully. I looked at her and I said, you trust him? She went, oh yeah. I said, do you think that when you're married to him in about 2 months, that he will have sex with somebody outside marriage? She said, oh, no, he won't. I said, he's doing it now. I said, are you married to him? She said, no. I said, is he having sex with you? She said, yeah. I said, he's having sex with somebody he's not married to. What makes you think he won't do it then? Then I looked right at the guy and I said, you trust her? He went, well, yeah. I said, do you believe that when you're married to her, that she won't have sex with anybody other than you? He said, oh, she won't. I said, she's doing it now. Are you married to her? No, she's having sex with you. She's having sex to somebody. She's having sex with somebody she's not married to. It breaks trust. You want to have trust with somebody you're about to marry? Don't have sex with them. If they know, if you won't have sex with them and you love them and you're about to marry them, you're not going to have sex with anybody else either. The third thing on why it's sex outside of marriage is wrong. It's a spiritual act. It breaks trust. But third, it's who owns your body? You may think that it's your body, but it is not. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Therefore, you're to glorify God in your body. It's His. He owns you. And when He says certain things are right and certain things are wrong. So the first aspect of why wait is that sex outside of marriage is wrong. It's a spiritual act. It breaks trust. And it's not even your body. There's a second reason to wait. And that's that there are consequences. The first consequence, for any of you in this room who know Jesus Christ, that if you have sexual relations outside marriage, there's guilt there because you've done wrong. You violated the Word of God. And there'll be guilt before God. Second, there's discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every child He receives. He goes on to say, what father doesn't discipline his children? There's a third reason. And this is the reason that some people try to use. You notice I've got it pretty far down the list. Disease. AIDS, venereal disease, herpes. There are no cure for many of these things. Saw a cartoon one time. You've heard me say it before because I've said it from the pulpit, but there was a young guy standing to his, he's a teenager, and he's looking at his grandfather, and he said, Grandfather, your generation didn't have all these social diseases. What did you wear to have safe sex? He says, a wedding ring. And that's true. I talked to a medical doctor the other day. I wanted to get some more information. I wanted to sort of update some of the things that I had. Are you ready for this one? If you have sexual relations with somebody who's had sex with somebody else, you have an 80% chance to get a sexually transmitted disease. 80% chance. I talked to a medical doctor who has a university in his town, and he says 72% of the girls, the college girls that come in to see him on campus, 72% have sexual diseases. Some of them never can be cured. Are you ready for this? The leading cause of death for women age 14 to 44, you know what it is? AIDS. The leading cause of death for men age 14 to 44, number one, accidents. They're crazy. Number two, AIDS. This is in our country. 14 to 44, leading cause of death. So not only is there guilt, not only is there discipline, not only is there disease, there's a fourth thing, and there's the possibility of pregnancy. Both from the guy and from the girl end, you bring in a life into this world. See what our society, you know what our society does? Our society says a woman gets pregnant and all of a sudden we dismiss the guy. We just let this guy go and he's out there some impregnating somebody else. And the girl carries around the baby, and when all this social and welfare programs are always fussing about the woman and her baby, I want to know where the guy is and why he's not paying for this stuff. That's what I want to know. And let me tell you, you have sexual relations with somebody, you might bring a life into this world. And I tell you, if you saw Greg and Tracy's little baby tonight, that is nothing to be played with. It's the most beautiful little thing in the world, and it's the most valuable thing in the world. And children are a gift from God, and there's a possibility you could be bringing one of those babies into this world. And if you're not ready for that, and if that's not what you want, be careful. Boy. The last reason is you could lose your testimony as a believer. You want to be able to tell other people about Jesus Christ, and yet if it becomes known, or if it's, you know, just the whole idea of that you have sexual relations, sometimes people just say, hey, you're no different than I am. Don't talk to me about Jesus. So let me remind you of this, that you decide now. Take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. Listen, anyone, I want you to think about it in two ways. Anyone can commit sexual sin. You may think, hey, you know, I've done real well and I'm growing as a Christian and I'm okay. Listen, don't think that you can't fall. Ask King David, did he think he would fall? Ruined his kingdom. And if you think, and I'll tell you, I do not think that I won't fall. The moment I start thinking that I won't fall, I may fall. I think I'm going to use this Sunday morning, but I read a study by Prof. Hendricks. He was one of the Dallas Seminary professors and probably one of the ones that had the biggest impact on me while I was there. He did a study in an 8-year time period. 116 pastors in the United States failed because of sexual sin. In an 8-year time period, 116 that he knew about. I mean, there are others that he documented. Listen, you think I think I can't fall? Every one of us in this room. So take heed lest you think you stand. Now here's the second part. Hey, anybody can have sex. It takes somebody, as Melissa was singing, to draw the line, to not straddle the fence, to make a decision and say, I'm not crossing that line. I'm going to live for Christ, and this is an area I'm choosing. Stand for what is right now. And as I said to you a while ago, if you've already failed, draw the line today. And this is the way it's going to be. But we're not exempt. It's a process. David looked out and he saw her. He lusted after her. He desired her. He inquired. And he took her. It can happen to anybody. Decide now. In the heat of the action, you can't decide. You have to decide now to never get to the heat of the action. Sexual drive is very powerful. But God holds you accountable. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. So as we think about this part, and it's a hard part, it's the hardest thing you deal with. It's one of the strongest drives you have. And you live in a world that just says, hey, well, don't listen to those people. Good gracious, enjoy yourself. God knows what's best. As believers, obey the word. Be pure so you can stand for Christ. Remember that sex is very special and it's reserved for marriage. And regardless of your past, choose today to live for Jesus Christ, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on to the things that are ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks. Thanks for these young people. I love them, Lord. We thank you for your word is so accurate and true, and even in a society that tells us just the opposite, Lord, let us know that your word is true and accurate. And Lord, for those who have never had sexual relations, Lord, we praise your name for them. And I know they praise your name, and I pray, Lord, they will stay strong. And for those who maybe have already failed, Lord, let them know that you love them, and that you'll take them and continue to use them, and they can forget the past, and they can press on ahead, and that you have forgiven them, and you will cleanse them, and use them in a way that's even beyond what they could ask or imagine. And Lord, I pray for these young people that from this group that's spreading out throughout that campus and in all the different organizations and the groups that they touch, that they will stand for Jesus Christ, and people will know that there's something special and different about them. And Lord, especially in this area, I pray, Lord, they will stand for you, living in your power, so they can hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.